Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land tomorrow."
For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you, with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So are Americans worshiping government over God?
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea of checks is not
we hear from the
of evolution in corporate America seems to be survival of the unfittest. Well, in my book, you either do it right or you get eliminated. In the last seven deals that I've been involved with, there were 2.5 million stockholders who have made a pre-tax profit of $12 billion. Thank you. I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA.
Wow, greed is good and right and works and clarifies, so says Michael Douglas in the film Wall Street, which is why a lot of people think that following Jesus and working in the free market, well, they're mutually exclusive. Or are they? Guess what we're going to talk about this hour. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. So glad you are with us. So can you bring Christian principles into the workplace? Did Jesus set an example for us? And if he did, what did he try to teach us? And if greed is not good, then how do you uphold and subscribe to an entirely different standard if you are in the workplace? That's our conversation. So glad you're with us. Here's our phone number. If you end up having any questions on our topic, we'd love to hear from you at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. I have really been looking forward to this conversation for a myriad of reasons. A, I think the church is very confused about this whole idea, by the way, of the marketplace. And can you be involved in a Fortune 500 company and still subscribe to Christian principles? Or do you segregate them, practice them on Monday, on Sunday, but on Monday through Friday, no, it's a different world because after all, greed is good, as Michael Douglas just told us. But I think also God puts his people everywhere. Doesn't he put them in industry and business as well? And is the free market system anathema to the word of God? What about capitalism? Is that anti-biblical as well? So I have a lot of questions. And guess what? I caught you at rush hour traffic coming home from a rough day at the office. And I'm so glad, because this is about the whole truth of the whole gospel to the whole world and integrated faith. We cannot, must not, should not compartmentalize our faith. Paul said very clearly in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. So therefore, it follows suit that Christian principles are not anathema to business, but it's a matter of how we bring them into the workplace. So our conversation is going to be based on a book called Jesus and Company, Connecting the Lessons of the Gospel with Today's Business World. Fascinating. Bruce Hartman is with us. He's the founder of Gideon Advisors. That is a Christian advisory firm that's committed to, here's their tagline, walking with people into a brighter future. I love that. And they want to navigate, they want to teach people how to navigate life and career transitions and advance Christian values in the marketplace. By the way, Bruce knows a little thing or two about that. He's a seasoned exec. He's got more than 30 plus years of not only experience, but success in creating creating shareholder value for Fortune 500 companies prior to founding Gideon Advisors. You'll learn more about that this hour. He was the executive VP and CFO at Yankee Candle Company. Hey, how many? Raise your hand. Yep, all across the country. A lot of people have Yankee Candles in their house. And Cushman and Wakefield, and how about Foot Locker? All names with which Bruce has been connected. He established global banking and capital market structures and contributed to significant increases in enterprise value. And during his tenure at Foot Locker, as an example, the company rose from near bankruptcy. This is one of his specialties, by the way. He takes companies that are tottering on the edge, turned Foot Locker around to be a company that had solid earnings generations with a stock price increase of 900%. That's success, no matter how you spell that word. Bruce, the warmest of welcomes. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, Janet.
I'm really looking forward to this, Bruce, because I have a lot of questions. So I want to start with your personal journey, because if I were a lawyer and we were in trial and you were my expert witness, I'd want your credentials on the record. It means the jury has to pay attention to what you're about to say. Why did you fall in love? And it has to be a love affair if you're in it for 30 plus years before the Lord takes you in a very interesting turn, and we'll get to that later. But what was it that attracted you to being in the world of business personally?
It was really a childhood dream. I would spend hours thinking about games like Monopoly, and I was very, very good at math. And I actually can play solitaire Monopoly. But, you know, as a young kid, I spent a lot of time thinking about that. So naturally, when I went to college, I went to get a business degree and did very well, all A's, went to work for one of the big public accounting firms. You would know them as Deloitte Touche. Mm-hmm. And from there, I started out working for large companies. My first stop was at May Department Stores, which is now part of Macy's. And it was we had nine divisions across the country, and I ended up working in seven of the nine over about an 11-year period. And from there, I was called to become the controller and then eventually the CFO of Foot Locker. And during its dark days, it was February 1999, we had $100 billion in debt. We did not have a good sales trend, and we had just lost $100 million the year before, and our bankers were wondering if we were ever going to be able to pay them back. So over the period of the next 10 years or so, we were able to straighten the company out. I had a great team working with me. And we did such a good job that Forbes magazine actually wrote an article about us 3 years after those dark days and published it and talking about what a nice job we had done. And then from there, I went to work for Cushman & Wakefield, international company and a great reputation, great people. And when Cushman & Wakefield got sold, I was able to get a job with Yankee Candle, which was a terrific company and many of the values that you see.
Let me stop you there, Bruce. Let me just stop you. We'll stop you at Yankee Candle. That music says I have to take a break, so forgive me for that. When we come back, I want to pick it up with Yankee Candle. Bruce Hartman is with us. Jesus and Company, his brand new book. Just getting started. Much more after this. Assurance of faith means freedom from the guilt of sin, joy in a relationship with the triune God, and a sense of belonging to the family of God. Those profound reminders are why I chose Knowing and Growing in Assurance of Faith by Joel Beakey as this month's Truth Tool. I want you to be encouraged by these truths. Knowing and Growing in Assurance of Faith is yours for a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. What a pleasure to spend the hour with Bruce Hartman. He's the founder of Gideon Advisors. He's also the author of Jesus and Company, Connecting the Lessons of the Gospel with Today's Business World. So there's a big hint that, yes, it can be done. By the way, we're into Bruce's story right now, former Fortune 500 exec and CFO, and he talks about his experience in the book with story after story after story, practical and very intriguing, as well as illustrative as well. So when last we met, Bruce, you just got into Yankee Candle. So talk to me about that on your journey, please.
Yankee Candle was just a terrific place to work, and it's really the opposite of the company operates the opposite of what we would think of a business. They really care about their customers. The folks that work there very loyal, very faithful people. And it was really a very pleasant experience. And it was just really a lot of fun and is also very rewarding. Mm. So that was my corporate career.
That's your corporate career. But it raises an interesting question, and that is, where are you on your spiritual journey while you're weaving throughout these companies?
It depends on and what part of my life. I started out initially, I would say, fairly spiritual. And then as I got into my career, I became more distant and more distant than I liked. And that's one of the reasons why I left the corporate career. It wasn't like I ever lost my sense for our Lord, but it was the way I was practicing it and, you know, fighting off the various problems that you can have when you have a corporate career and staying focused on, you know, what your real purpose in life is.
Yeah, and I would imagine the distractions would be many. And not only that, but the siren song of the market could be very deadly as well. And I want to go deeper into that in a bit. But I want our friends to know what you did. Bruce, this tells me so much about you, because you could have said, I got the boat, I got the second home, I got the retirement package, I have a golden parachute, everything could not be better by man's standard. And yet you, in 2013, which is not that long ago, decide that you're going to get a Master's of Divinity, and then you go on and get the Doctorate in Divinity as well. Explain, that is a bold move by anybody's standard.
Well, the reason I went and got my master's degree is I felt like I felt the calling to serve God and to help people, and not at that time specifically help the business world, though it was, let's just say, it was more of an opaque calling. So if you're going to help the Lord, in my mind, I had to know more than I knew. Besides what I'd learned in Sunday school and from friends, I wanted to become a professional at it before I went out and did that. So that's the main reason why I went to get my degree, because if you're going to help the world, what is it that Jesus wants us to do? How do we do it? And what did he really say?
And that's an absolutely excellent place for me to dig deeper into how we can apply these principles. But let me just ask about some of the personal temptations, because you were transparent and you were honest with us. And you talked about the focus not being where the focus is. We started out with Hollywood. We could have a wonderful discussion about whether or not art imitates life or whether or not art directs life. But the declaration was made by the character in Wall Street that greed is good. The sad thing is that's not just a character in a Hollywood movie. That's a philosophy that can be in Wall Street. It can be in the boardroom. It could be in the marketplace. How do you, as a follower of Christ, strike that balance? The Bible has an awful lot to say about money. And for a whole lot of Christians, they think that this idea that capitalism fosters a greed mentality is one of the reasons why we should pull back from a free market. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think first, Jesus wants our self-worth, not our net worth, and is more interested in who we are and what we are, and less in terms of how many boats or houses we have. But the reality is 95% of Americans will have to work because they have to pay their bills. And of those Americans, one half of them today are working. There's 160 million people in the workplace, and 120 million of them are Christians.
Wow.
So one of the things that you have to do, you used a very good word, the siren, and avoiding the siren is really the purpose of this book, and to show people how to do that. By 8:15 on Monday morning, the folks that have gone to church on Sunday morning and now they're in the workplace, by 8:15 they've already heard the siren. And they have to deal with what ought we to do, which is one of the key threads in this book. And one of the things I break it out in, break it down as, you have a short-term decision you can make or a long-term decision you can make. Almost always, when you make a short-term decision, the immediate impact may be beneficial, but the long-term impact is not going to be good. Making long-term decisions will almost always have some short-term pain to them, but have long-term gain. And, you know, in the book, in the preface, we talk about Sharon Watkins, who is the woman that she eventually became Time Magazine's Woman of the Year. But she is the woman that had to walk to Ken Lay's office to tell him that Enron was nothing but a house of cards. And you think of the personal strength that Sharon had to have to get up out of her chair to face a very, very tough-minded CEO of one of the largest companies in the world at the time. And that's, you know, that's really what, maybe not at that level, but those are the types of decisions that we have to face every day in the workplace. And as I always tell people, but I tell pastors, by 8:15 on Monday morning, your flock is already dealing with that, and we should be arming
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Amen. And that is why I'm thrilled we're having this discussion, because if it hits that early in the workday, and I absolutely agree with your assessment of that, I want to know what we do to move away from the God of rationalism. Well, if I just change this direction, or if I just, you know, maybe oversell my product a little bit, I'll get to that bottom line, and it's all going to be justified in the end. And we find ourselves as followers of Christ practicing a kind of situational ethics, that any means whatsoever is justifiable as long as we get to our desired end. I hear the music, Bruce, and let me get your response to this on the other side. So if you're going to follow Christ and you're going to say that you represent him first in the marketplace, that your net worth is not your bottom line, your self-worth is. How do you beat back that temptation of rationalization, justification for what might be otherwise murky decisions when Scripture speaks clearly about what is right and what is wrong? Let me get your answer when we get back. The gospel into the business world? Bruce Hartman says emphatically yes, and he teaches us how to do that in his new book, Jesus and Company. By the way, I have a link to the book and to Bruce's website for Gideon Advisors on my website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Let me recap the question, Bruce, if I can, because like I said, you're talking to folks right this minute from Guam all the way to the Cayman Islands, but you're talking to a lot of people who are coming home after a long day at the office, and they may have been, in their own experience, faced with having to choose between right and wrong. Sometimes the distinction is as clear as black and white. Other times it's murkier and grayer. Because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, when all sorts of rationalizations start heading your way, when you're coaxed, when there's a dollar amount you have to meet each quarter, when you're desperate to make that mark, to keep your job, to put the food on the table, how do we stand firm, adhere to the principles that we know have been clearly articulated in the Word, and still keep our job? Can you be a Christian and a business person at the same time, in other words?
Yeah, you definitely can. And I'll explain. A lot of this is in the book as well. First, you have to have a strong-rooted faith in the unseen. So understanding that all things happen through and with God. And when you're in a difficult situation, you know, you have a sales goal you have to meet, you have a customer that perhaps you could sell more to that he or she doesn't need, you still have to make the decision to sacrifice the sales goal. And there's a couple of good reasons for that. One is when you sell something in a manner that is, even if it's murky or and not quite as duplicitous as you would think, it only comes back to hurt the reputation of the business and yourself. When you sell something that satisfies a customer's need and solves a problem, then you've walked with the way Jesus would do it. Here's an example. This past Thursday, I ride a lot of road bicycles. And I had bought this new one, and I kept getting a flat tire. So I was convinced that the tire was bad. And I asked the salesperson at this store, you know, will you give me a new tire? And he said, you don't need a new tire. You're pumping your tires up too much. So he had a choice there between a $25 fix on my tire or $230 to sell me a new tire. And I said to myself, there's a person that knows and understands the difference between a sales goal and a customer goal. And
exactly.
I think if we all thought about Jesus, I think we all know Jesus would be less interested in sales goals and more interested in customer goals. And over the longer term, healthy businesses thrive because customers believe that they come first. And one of the principles I used in explaining this is the two commandments, you know, love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And second, and closely followed by, love thy neighbor as yourself. So when we look at customers as our neighbors and we say to ourselves, how would we want to be treated? That's the commandment from Jesus.
Mm. Let me give you an example. In your book, you talk about L.L. Bean, and I was struck by this. You said that they don't use slogans, but rather they use quality to win over customers. Well, if you're producing a quality product, it's because you have, in fact, put people first. So that goes to the scripture that you quoted before, that we can, if we remember the priorities, we're honoring the Lord, loving him first, and treating other people the way he would have us treat them, then it isn't the bottom line again. But if you do it the right way, Bruce, oftentimes the bottom line gets met anyway, does it not? There has to be a step of faith in the midst of this.
Yeah, that's what I call faith in the unseen, because there are times, that, particularly during those dark days at Foot Locker, there are times where you don't understand how you're going to get out of it, but you have to do the right thing. You have to tell the bank the truth. And at one point, the banks asked me during that very difficult period, they asked me, you know, do you think you're going to make it? And I said, well, I don't really know if we're going to make it, but I do know I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. And the bankers actually gave us a lot of credit for being that honest with them and being that frank. And they also developed confidence in us that we were going to work hard. So sometimes having faith in the unseen is more important than how good you are at your job.
Yeah, I love that. Also, it seems to me, you talk about the unseen. Let's talk about the seen. The Bible says that a good name is to be more highly valued than rubies. It seems to me that integrity and trust are absolutely paramount characteristics for success in the business world.
There's no doubt about that. That's, you know, whether it's for a corporation, for an employee, a supervisor, an employee, there's one thing we all walk into the business world with that cannot get tarnished, and that is your reputation. Very few of us have trust funds and large assets when we start out in our lives. And the one thing every person should guard above all things is your integrity and your reputation. And the thing that does is it opens doors for you. It gets, you know, particularly later in your career, when people know they can trust you, there's a lot of value that's placed. Now, you may lose by telling the truth. You may lose in the short term, but in the long term, it's invaluable.
877-548-3675. We have the privilege of spending the hour with Bruce Hartman, who's the author of Jesus and Company, Connecting the Lessons of the Gospel with Today's Business World. Is it possible? Bruce says absolutely it is. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why he founded Gideon Advisors. I want you to learn more about that on the other side. But in the meantime, again, let me remind you, I have a link to Bruce's website and a link to the book Jesus and Company at our website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Check it out. And while you're there, why not take a moment to answer our question of the week? Check out this month's Truth Tool. We are listener-supported radio. For a gift of any size, I'm going to send you the Truth Tool. We'll be right back. More with Bruce Hartman after this. Are you the sort of person who likes to have the inside scoop, who wants to be informed? When you become a Partial Partner, you're not only keeping this program on the air every weekday, you'll also receive exclusive benefits like personal emails from me. I'll help you learn how to look at the headlines with a biblical perspective. Become a Partial Partner today by calling 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests.
Milton Friedman having a little tete-a-tete with Phil Donahue there. But you see how so many people create this this relationship between capitalism and greed, and that makes a lot of people step back thinking it is utterly impossible to represent Christ in the marketplace. Bruce Hartman says otherwise. And Bruce, by the way, is a seasoned exec with 30-plus years of success creating shareholder value for Fortune 500 firms. He's named some of them. Yankee Candle Company, Cushman & Wakefield, Foot Locker, the list goes on. He also has founded now Gideon Advisors after he went back and got a master's and a doctorate in theology as well. So he's written the book out of all of this called Jesus and Company, which is an absolutely fascinating read about this intersection between the gospel and the principles we find in Scripture and the business world. Bruce, let me ask you to fly up to the 35,000-foot level a little bit, because you're both a businessman and now someone who's got some graduate degrees in theology as well. Is capitalism inherently greedy? We are having an entire generation coming up that think that somehow socialism is a more biblical model. I'd love your reaction to that.
Well, capitalism is an economic model. It's not a social model. It's about the dispersing of resources and assets. Now, people can make capitalism sinful. People can make socialism sinful, but it's an economic model, not necessarily a model of behavior. So I think we all have to be careful when I love that the intro you did with Milton Friedman. We all have to be careful that we don't tag capitalism as a human behavior. It's a economic model. So the other reality is we all have to pay bills. There is no you don't get away with that. It happened in the first century, and it happens in the 21st century. And how you earn the living to pay your bills is really what. I think it's a bad name. So you can be a capitalist and you can be moral, and there's plenty of examples throughout our history. Henry Heinz, the founder of Heinz 57, great Christian, was early in many of the social programs that we now see in companies throughout the Fortune 500 companies. Henry Heinz was one of the ones that created, and his motto was to honor the Lord he served.
Wow. So it's, again, I'm going to underscore this for people think that the two are mutually exclusive, but you know, we're this side of glory. So every system is going to have a downfall because we're not living in perfection yet. But going back to capitalism, I would say it's inherently neutral. It's what we do within that economic model. Let me talk about, I love the way you look at the business skills of Jesus. And one of the things you point out is that Jesus was a very effective delegator. The power of delegating tasks to let people blossom where they are is extremely important. And you put skin on this concept by telling us the story of Reggie, who worked at Yankee Candle. Talk to me about Reggie and how, when you step back, this creative person actually helped grow the company.
Yeah, Reggie was an interesting fellow. The CEO asked me if I would be interested in picking him up on my staff. The department he was working in was dissatisfied with him and not really that happy. And as I probed Reggie's skills, and I had been in meetings with him, I found him to be creative, innovative, and he got things done. His problem was he needed a lot of attention. So I told Harlan Kent at the time, I'll take him and I'll assign him to this project where we had to increase our earnings by improving our productivity. So what I discovered with Reggie is if he and I talked about something and I gave him the freedom to do it, the only thing it cost me was 10 minutes a day to tell him how much I appreciated what he did. And over the course of that year, Reggie not only accomplished his goal, he exceeded his goals and became one of the favorite employees of the company, all because I took 10 minutes a day just to hear him and appreciate him.
But you know, there's another biblical principle, Bruce. The Bible says to practice encouragement. You said this about Reggie, which I thought was very powerful. Creative people need the freedom to think, Too many rules and conditions stifle creativity. Second, creative people need to know that they are contributing to a bigger goal that will produce a definable result. Third, they need an authentic statement of recognition. That doesn't cost anybody anything except time. And really, it gives people the opportunity to grow, such an important factor in putting the gospel principles back into the business place. Here's the other thing you talk about, and that is you loved, in fact, on that note, you refer to yourself as a market social worker. Reggie is a classic example of what that looks like, by the way. But you also talk about the power of building, your word, unusual teams. I thought this was interesting because in some respects, when you look at Jesus and the 12, that was a really unusual team. Talk to me about how that gets applied to the business world.
Yeah, it's a great place to start when you're hiring people is to look at what are the cultural values that you're looking for. The first and the most important is integrity. Two is you're looking for people that can get things done. Do they analyze effectively? The fourth would be listening to learn. Do they listen to learn or do they listen to rebut? And number five, do they develop other people? Do they make other people around them better? So that's, those five principles aren't always found on resumes. And that's what creates unusual teams is we would index, particularly at Foot Locker, we would index almost always to those five principles and paid less attention to the resume. And our belief was that good people can make a bad solution work, but bad people can't make a good solution work. And that's one of the reasons why, for instance, our CIO or Chief Information Officer was a finance person. And one of our great sales efforts was generated by a finance person as well. But vice versa, you can have a great operations person that can work in finance. Now, obviously, there are some technical competencies that you have to have and you have to follow. But I think you have to be careful of resumes. And that's how Jesus ended up building his unusual teams. He looked for people that none of his disciples were clergy. Yeah. They were common folk.
Yeah, exactly right. I love that. So looking at people more than the resume, you did not get where you are. And these companies didn't turn around the way they did without your having to do some sifting and winnowing. And that gets to the termination process. A lot of people think that that straight across the board is out of the gate unbiblical, and yet I would dispute that it's not. Tell me, as a Christian, Bruce, how you approach that in the work that you did.
Well, number one, I would tell you the most emotional days in my career were those days. There was actually two times in my career where we had to do some significant winnowing. And at one point at Foot Locker, particularly when we were near bankruptcy, we had to lay off 150 employees. And a couple of the younger managers asked me, you know, how am I going to get through this? And your option is 150 people or 15,000. And those are the types of decisions that you make. Now, certainly when you lay people off or you have to winnow, you got to be extraordinarily respectful of the individual, but you also have to be respectful of the 15,000 employees that you're saving their jobs as well. So it is the single hardest thing to do for any executive is to have to lay somebody off.
Wow. Yeah. And I would imagine that you probably spent some time in prayer before you had to make that decision, because if you value, we started our conversation by talking about valuing the customer. It's also likewise that you would value the employee, knowing the impact that it's going to have. So those have to be tough days. And to the people in our listening audience right now who have had to make that decision, what advice would you give them before they do that?
I think you said it in your question is that you should start that morning in prayer and ask for God's advice, wisdom, guidance, and to do His will, not yours, and to be compassionate with people. And that's all done. Each one of the mornings that I was thinking about as you were asking the question, there was a lot of deep conversation about, was I doing the right thing? How am I supposed to behave today? And these all come back to you through prayer, and it's very deep prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. And understanding, trusting the unseen. Let me use your words, Bruce. It seems to me that if after careful praying and vetting and consideration and using the skills that the Lord has given you and to make the decision, and one of the 150 has to go, we will never know, I think, this side of glory, whether or not in the letting go of that, of one of those 150, that God has opened the door for them for a new direction. It's not a rejection. Is in fact a redirection. And there must be some solace in that as a businessman.
Yeah, and that's, you know, generally, and particularly in my business today, that's one of the things I try to do when I have a client that has lost a job and is looking for a new career. Many times when people lose a job, it's not because of their competence, it's because of cultural integrity. And I can finish this after the break.
I'm so glad you want to, Bruce, because I really want to dig into this, and I want our friends to learn more about Gideon Advisors as well. That's a group that Bruce founded, and it is a Christian advisory firm that's committed to walking with people into a brighter future as they navigate life and career transitions and advance Christian values where? In the marketplace. Jesus and Company. It's the book that Bruce has written. We're going to continue with Bruce Hartman right after this. You're encouraged, particularly if God has called you into the business world, that you don't have to leave your relationship with Jesus Christ at home. In fact, if anything, the marketplace is crying out for those values to be brought to the marketplace. Bruce Hartman knows a lot about that. For 30 years, he had the joy of creating success for Fortune 500 companies, and now he's the founder of Gideon Advisors, which is a Christian advisory firm committed to walking with people into a brighter future. I love this, and I'm sorry we had to take a break when we did, but boy, I want to pick it up exactly at this point. You said, Bruce, that very often when someone is terminated from their job, it isn't their competency, it's the culture. I'm intrigued by this. Please pick it up from there.
Yeah, so I was recently talking with a woman who's fairly steady in her communication and not very erratic in her behavior, but the company that she was working at felt she was. You know, my own knowledge of her said something different. And when I started asking questions about what she was being asked to do, what did she say, it appeared to me that the company she was working for was perhaps more sensitive than other places that she had worked. And she lost her job because they felt like she was too hard. This woman wasn't too hard. It was just the environment she was in. But she still developed a sense of worthlessness because she couldn't keep that job. And in fact, it wasn't really about her. It was just that when she selected the company to go work for, she didn't pick up on some of the clues of the company not being willing to accept frank and direct conversation. So, you know, later on, obviously, she did get a different job, got a lot more money. I think she got a 30% raise in her paycheck and is now thriving and is happy. And so sometimes when you lose a job, it's not because you weren't good. It's more that the fit wasn't right for you. And if you hang in there with faith, you can probably at least get your a similar job back and perhaps even get a higher one. And I want to be careful. I don't want to touch on the issue of faith in the prosperity gospel, because that's not what I'm saying.
Exactly. And I think that's clear. I like what you said. In fact, you say very much that for people who are making this transition, never give up and always search for the way of Jesus. You also write that Gideon Partners involves a functional step-by-step process. So tell me, and you don't need to name names, but just give me a stereotypical profile of who the person would be who comes to Gideon Advisors. What sort of help are they seeking, and how do you help them to walk that brighter future?
Well, it's this too. There's a company and people, and the people that usually they come to me, they're unemployed, and they fall into two age categories. They're very young, just graduated from college and want to know how to get into the workplace, and very often are met with, you don't have enough experience, and they question themselves, well, how am I going to get experience if I don't get a job?
Right.
And the second thing, which is, it's a hidden disease in America today. A lot of the folks I work with are over the age of 55. Most people are much healthier than they were a couple of decades ago at 55. They're vibrant and, you know, very, very capable of working. But once you've turned 55 and you've lost your job, you've kind of been taken off the merry-go-round, and it's much harder to get back on. So a couple of things that I work with is I work with most people find the job. 85% of the people who find a job, a new job, find it through their network. They don't find it by answering ads. And I'm not saying don't answer ads or don't apply to, you know, through Simply Hired or Indeed, the two big companies that do this now. But it's through your network. So one of the things I ask them to do is to talk to 7 people each week that they know. And I obviously, you know why I'm using the word 7. As a symbol of divine, it could be 6 or 8, but I choose 7. And each week, that's their responsibility in their network. And 85% of people find their job through the network. Second thing I do with folks is you have to be positive in an interview. You got to be upbeat. So, Janet, what I do is I make them go around for 2 days. Every person that they meet, they have to make them smile. And when that person doesn't smile, they have to be introspective in terms of why didn't they smile? And usually it's because they didn't reach out. They didn't acknowledge the person. They didn't affirm that person's humanity. And for instance, if you go to Starbucks and you see somebody has a really nice cross on that's serving you, it's okay to say, I really like your cross. And that will instantly bring a smile to, particularly if for faithful people. So that's the second step, is being positive. Third, work on words that demonstrate you're trustworthy, because that's what employers want. They want positive people that are trustworthy, and they're going to assume competence. And that's the step-by-step formula that I work with for both of these age groups.
Wow, that's excellent. And I love your philosophy about not giving up. This goes full circle again, and we've referenced it several times, but I think it's important for us as believers as well, which is just really trusting the sovereignty of God. You know, your wife talked about the fact that bills had to be paid, and we have to figure out how, in the midst of paying our bills, we first, last, and always make that connection with Jesus, and that the two are not mutually exclusive. You touch on Bernie Madoff. You write about the power of what we see in our eye that reveals the darkness in our heart. You say Bernie Madoff's life, as an example, would be completely turned around if he didn't want that big house with the pool in Miami, that things would have been markedly different. This hour's gone far too quickly, but I want to end with a challenge from you, Bruce, which is to somebody who thinks that greed might not be good. I understand that as a follower of Christ, but it sure makes me feel better. And the more in my checkbook, the better I feel. What would you say to them as a challenge?
I'd say that's a false god. And to have more faith, as I said earlier, faith in the unseen. God will be with us.
Bruce, it is a fascinating book. I say this often, particularly for books that I love, that even with the irreplaceable gift of 1 hour of your time, and I thank you for it because I can never give it back to you, there's always so much more than even 1 hour of conversation can afford us. So if this is your issue, if God has called you into the marketplace, there are all kinds of false gods out there, as Bruce just said. You are an ambassador for Christ, first, last, and always in the business world, and there is a way to bring biblical principles into the marketplace. Jesus and Company teaches you how to do just that. Not only do we look at Jesus and the business skills that he had, but Bruce's book is filled with stories of people that he's met along the way and all the work that he's done for 30-plus years in business creating success. So I commend it to you, Jesus and Company. And also, by the way, don't forget, he's the founder of Gideon Advisors, and I have a link to his website on my site as well. In the Market with JanetParshall.org. In the Market with JanetParshall.org. My heartfelt thanks to Bruce Hartman on a wonderful conversation. And I thank you so much for joining us, friends. And we'll see you next time on In the Market with Janet Parshall.